Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we are, we got our radio beer going here.
You know,
for the podcast.
I feel like it, you know, which is basically a radio show, right?
Yeah.
Radio show for the internet, for the World Wide Web.
For the youth.
This is a golden lager for Chicago's very own WGN. Brought to you by Metropolitan Brewing, man.
Right, in collaboration with Seps and Chicago Brewseum.
Yeah, so this is a good-looking can, Brad.
Right, I love this color blue.
Yeah.
And so this is the WGN beer that was brewed last year for the 100th anniversary of WGN. And so I think it did so well. People loved it. I missed it last year, and then I saw it was out now. So I went over there and got it.
It makes a lot of sense. WGN and Metropolitan are pretty much in the same neighborhood. You know, they're both in Avondale.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Western and Addison-ish. So I didn't know that Sipes was involved. So this would be the third Sipes beer if we're keeping score.
Because I think they're involved.
Right? They're on the can. See, look, their labels on
the
can. Yeah,
but how... I don't know the backstory of this. Are they like just all just promoting it? Metro brews their beers, but they are also their own independent brewery too. Or
Sipes contract brews at
Metro. Right? Yeah.
So yeah.
So and this is a Metro beer in collaboration with these other two. So it's not a Sipes beer. Mm.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a adjacent brand of it. I don't know. A beer that they love or something.
It's a good looking can. It's a pretty good beer too.
Yeah, a little 5% golden ale. Feels like a perfect summertime beer. Just like patio drinking, watching baseball, hanging out in the park kind of thing.
I wish Metro made the Brewer's Triangle Lager. The one that was the triangle is Hopewell. The triangle is Maplewood, Ravinia, and Metropolitan.
Okay.
And they debuted a Brewer's Triangle beer. It was a lager. It was not made by Maple. It was not made by
Metropolitan.
Metro. It was made by Maplewood.
Okay.
I wish Metro would have made it. Yeah.
Right. So you weren't a fan of it.
And I don't really like lagers in 16-ounce cans. Now, and I'll tell you something else I don't like. I like a 12-ounce lager.
Okay. So. What happens when another brewery gets added to that triangle? Did they become the Brewer's Square? Because someone's going to open up at some point in that area, right?
If they do, I hope they take the place of that Al's Beef. Al's Beef kind of sucks over there. Not a big fan.
Okay. But anyway, we got a bunch of things to talk about because we missed the previous week. We've been all over. Nick's been at multiple events. Last week, I forgot to talk about Oakenroy.
How was Oakenroy, man?
It was nice.
Humble Park, Chicago. Hello.
Right off the 606, almost towards the end of 606, where you could get to Pipeworks and Off Color if you could actually go to them. They would be right there. But Oakenroy, you're literally looking at the 606. This feels like a cool kid brewery.
Yeah, they're way too cool for me up in the old Oakenroy.
Yeah, and I'm...
The fuck does Oakenroy mean?
I'm not sure, but remember when we were at Oak Park Microbrew and the Night Glow was pouring beer? And he was like, oh, my brother has Dayglow Coffee.
Right.
Which is next to Okunroy.
Because Okunroy and Dayglow Coffee are in the Kimball Arts Center, which is a shared business park.
Yeah. But this guy said they were going to open up Nightglow next to Dayglow and have Night and Dayglow. So you're going to tell me this.
Sounds cool, by the way.
Yeah, it sounds great. And when we mentioned this a long time ago, I didn't realize Okunroy was there.
Yeah.
So you're going to have two breweries right there? Why? But
that's question A. And then question B, I think the dude who started Okunroy, or one of the core dudes, because he's always in the videos,
yeah,
is the same dude that's starting Dayglow. So is he...
Nightglow? Starting
Nightglow. So is he leaving Okunroy to start Nightglow, or are they sisters?
Right, or is Okunroy becoming Nightglow?
Or are you rebranding Okunroy to be Nightglow?
Okay.
Doesn't seem like... I'm with you. Don't seem like it would have... That space isn't built to have two breweries. And then... Well, let's not boo-hoo the fact that there might be two breweries in here, because that's what they do in places like Denver. Denver's got that... they got a spot kind of like where Metro is, where it's kind of like this... basically a niche.
Yeah, just a brewery, or it says four.
Exactly. So it's possible.
It's
right?
possible. Yeah. But I didn't realize that's where this was. Okunroy, I went there on a Saturday afternoon, empty. There's more people at Dayglow than there was at Okunroy, which was odd to me. But went there, they have food, they have anchovy popcorn. And they have other, like a bunch of other things. But anchovy popcorn was pretty tasty. Really? And like a very good beer drinking snack.
Well, you know, popcorn salty, so are anchovies, I guess. So I guess it could work, I guess.
And they got the ordering down. You just order from the app with your phone, so you don't even have to talk to anybody, really. It just shows up to your table.
So they do have small plates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And lots of fun glasses, or at least the pictures that they post have fun glasses. We got a couple fun glasses, but non-branded glasses. So they have branded glasses, but we weren't getting them. And the space, lots of plants. It looks just if, a Gen Zer opened a brewery. There's plants.
It's like a fucking design studio.
Yeah, wacky art on the wall.
Yeah.
Funky chairs. I don't like so many plants. There's so many plants.
This is the oldest old man beer podcast right now, so you know.
It was just like it felt like a brewery that doesn't exist in Chicago. It felt different. Okay. And that was very cool to see. Like you go to a brewery and they got, you know, or Ravinia has this old giant bar.
Yeah, it's like a Brunswick bar that they got from, that they imported from Wisconsin or something.
And that's sort of often the aesthetic of a lot of breweries, just like big, I don't know, bar focus thing. And this was like, our plants and like weird art are the focus. And
yeah.
I don't know. We have beer and food. It's good. You want to hang out here?
Yeah. Right. No, I like it. It's a modern space that happens to be a brewery, which, you know, like you said, it's out of the norm for what we see around here. Yeah.
So it was a good spot, and knowing where it is now, I felt like I thought it was in the middle of Humble Park and hard to get to, but it's pretty easy to get to, and then you're not too far from Scofflaw and a bunch of those other places. Like, that's right around the corner.
Yeah, that's right, because you're on North Ave and all that stuff's on Armitage, which is the next major street north. So.
Yeah, which you got Still Life then down the way.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Okunroy. You've been there.
I like an Okunroy. It's different. ingredients are different. I think I got a dark lager there. And the food was, you know, a little too advanced for me. I didn't really order any food.
I got a French Pilsner.
I think my dark lager.
Pillowy.
My dark lager came in a rocks glass.
Okay.
You know, shit like that. So.
Yeah. Non-beer glasses.
Yeah.
Which is fun. You get samples. I did have their seltzer, which was meh.
Okay.
But a couple other things. Yeah, but cool space. I think it definitely stands out and has been overlooked by me and probably a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, you get to a point where, well, we dig them because they're different because we drink beer all the time. But then it might not be on your radar because it's a little too weird for some people. Even though, and not weird in an overall sense, just weird in a beer sense. You know, it's like it's not a traditional brewery.
Yeah.
So, but that's why I like it.
Yeah, it was cool. So I'll probably make it back again this summer at some time because it's a good bike ride. It's an easy bike ride there. So check that out. That was a spot a couple weeks ago that I totally forgot to mention. So how about you? You've been out in the burbs.
Yeah, man, rocking the suburbs. Shout out to Naperville, Illinois. Hello. You know, when you look on the map, Naperville is not parallel to downtown Chicago. Naperville's south of downtown. Mm-hmm. So I'm at the Sox game, right? And, you know, I go get the free shirt. The Sox suck. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. What do I do? And I'm like, well, you know, Naperville's southwest. So I'm going to just go to Oath Day because I've never been to Oath Day. And I don't even know what the fuck Oath Day is.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm going to Oath Day. So
you have a crazy proximity of, like, I'm going to workforce and then art history.
Off we go.
Like, you just...
Off we go. This is happening. yeah, so I get in line at Oath Day. Oath Day starts at noon. I'm there about noon, and there's a line.
Okay.
I'm talking like a good line.
You already have a ticket?
Well, that's the thing. You didn't need a ticket.
Oh, you didn't need a ticket.
You didn't need a ticket. So we're hanging out, and this guy behind us is like, yeah, you know, in years past, our ticket was required. It was $45, and then you got a couple beers with the $45 ticket. This year, it was not that. It's just kind of a la carte.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is way better.
I mean, I don't understand why you would need a ticket.
But
the tap list, it's a tight tap list of, like, all their specialty stuff, like reserve stuff from them, and then all their core offerings. So it's basically, it's pretty much just a Solemn Oath exclusive tap list for Oath Day.
Isn't that what the tap room is anyway?
Yeah.
If you go to Solemn Oath, you're just going to get Solemn Oath beers.
It kind of barely qualifies as a beer festival, right? Right. Exactly. They did have a guest. One was axe throwing. Oh. Some mobile axe throwing. And Chicago's Secret Burger, which I heard about, but never had.
Did you have?
I had the Secret Burger. That was the draw. I'm like, wait, it's Oath Day and the burgers there?
I saw it. That might have pulled me in. I was tied up.
Because, I think, you know, the Chicago Secret Society Burger, whatever it's called, I always miss it.
Yeah, he's like, it's the rival to the biker burger.
Yeah, so...
Where does it stand?
That's what I'm saying. So you know,
we're first, just gonna turn this into a burger podcast.
So you know, you walk in, you get your stamp, you get a couple of beers, and you first thing you do is go get this burger.
Okay,
go get in line for this burger. They don't ask you what you want; they know what you want. So they just say, "How many do you want?" And they think you only get one. So you walk up, and they say, "All right, this is your total. We didn't ask you what you wanted because you only got one thing.
Oh shit!
No mods. You get it."
Okay.
You know,
I like it. I like that.
You know, I don't know if you've been to Smith or the Loyalist.
I've been to the Loyalist.
The Loyalist, they got the seeds. They got the seeds on the bun at the Loyalist.
I do like that.
This is a nice pop. This is a nice seeded. This is a nice sesame seeded bun here.
Because I had a hot dog from Home Depot, non seeded bun.
You got the glizzy? Did you get the Wagyu glizzy from Home Depot?
No, just regular Chicago dog. And I was like,
Foot long Wagyu from the
Braster? Not a seeded bun. I was like, nah, it's good, but it's not. I missed that.
That's true. You want a poppy seed on the bun. You do want the seeds. Yeah. You know, bring it all the way home.
But so this is a sesame seed.
This is a sesame seed bun. So presentation is really good on this thing, and it's a big burger, Brad. It feels like a double
you know,
smash burger. What am I going to say? Oh, it's loaded. You know, it's got lettuce. It's got mayo. It's got pickles, right? And it's got a good amount of burger, too.
Okay.
So... But it's a very busy burger in comparison to, it's a fantastic burger.
To the biker dude?
But the simplicity and allowing the cheese and the burger to just be the focus with the soft bread is where a biker dude, I think, gets the slight edge.
Okay.
This burger is just a little too busy for me. It was a fantastic burger. It's fantastic.
I know. I've been eyeing this one.
But I like how simple the biker dude is, so I gave him an edge. So that was cool. They had a collab, barrel-aged barley wine collab with Ricky Cervantes from Foreign Exchange.
Oh, nice.
And then they had slushy.
Who's back?
Right, he's back. back again. At slushy beers. But yeah, this is a place where you go. They have a bunch of cool installations, right? You take a few pictures, you have two rounds of beer, you get your burger, and you get the hell out of here.
Okay.
You know, that's your Oath Day.
See, but they also have, which I saw, I think, happening at Still Life this coming weekend, is like I think Customer Appreciation Day or something, which I think was similar to what we were at last year around this time when we did an interview with those guys.
There was an event that day.
And so that might have been Customer Appreciation. So I'm a little confused now what's the difference between Oath Day and like a Customer Appreciation Day. I thought Oath Day used to have a big beer that got released. Or is that a different event?
I did take a picture of the tap list from Oath Day. And I'm trying to, because I don't want to downplay the tap list at Oath Day. But it was hard to pinpoint a specific Oath beer,
Right.
A specific release for Oath Day. I don't know if I saw that.
Because I thought, we had that Solemn Oath little thing that came in the sleeve, and we had like a big bomber, and I thought that was an Oath Day beer. But maybe I'm mistaken, and I'm looking around to see if.
So 18 beers, 4 were limited releases. Let's see. All barrel aged stuff. Oh, they had a 10-year beer, but this was 2022 was their 10-year beer, a Belgian triple brewed for our 10th anniversary.
Okay.
The Final Thunderbolt of the Old Order, the Barrel-Aged Scroll and the Lamb, that was a foreign exchange collab, and then a Barrel-Aged Barley Wine called a Heavyweight Tickle Fight Champion of the World.
Okay. That's
a pretty funny name. So those were the limited tappings. Maybe one of these was their Oath Day beer for the show.
Or maybe that's unneeded at this point. Not that... it's not great to celebrate these events with like a special release or something, but maybe like a big over the top barrel aged beer that's bottled or canned isn't really worth it.
Right.
I mean, you can just sell Lou all day and, make people happy.
Lou's a great beer. I like Snaggletooth Bandana. The slushies were made from a Hidden Hand Berliner Weiss smoothie.
Oh, yeah.
So they had the smoothie. It's called Semi Radical. It's a smoothie Berliner Weiss with raspberry, strawberry, orange, and banana. And then the slushy was made from that beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? I almost see Hidden Hand around town at restaurants more than I see Solemn Oath.
Yeah, and I think that was part of their issue, right? Like, these Hidden Hand styles are stuff they want to get to market faster. And they were having a conflict with their distro. So they said, we'll start another company and just distro it ourselves. Mm-hmm. Which, got to respect that. But yeah, good hang. A lot of big, crazy, colorful artwork everywhere, which I really dug. And then, it's my first Oath Day, so it was cool.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, Customer Appreciation Day is coming up too. So I think anytime getting to either Solemn Oath location is always a good hang.
Yeah. I like those guys. Yeah, man. Cheers to Hobbs. I saw him for a little bit. Cheers to John Barley. I saw him as well. So.
Awesome.
Got to say hi to those guys.
Cool. And then you were out in the burbs this past Monday for some golfing, right? Illinois.
Yeah, it's their fourth annual. It's their fourth annual golf event. This is in West Chicago at a place called some kind of Prairie. God damn it, Prairie something.
Okay.
Yeah, Prairie Golf Club. Prairie tournament.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Guild.
This is your second time going too, right?
Yeah. So it's 18 holes. It's on a weekday, and you drink Illinois craft beer the whole day. So my favorite beers had to be this cream ale from fucking Midwest Coast.
Oh.
It was called Three from the Tee. It kind of looked like one of the golf tournaments in on the label. Cream ale, like 4.5%. Microphone had a Kolsch, the Maybach from Noon Whistle. It was really good. And then Art History had something called Gravitas, which was like it's a Czech lager with something called floor malted barley. Oh, sorry, it was Bohemian Pilsner. Bohemian Pilsner with floor malted barley.
Okay.
Whatever the fuck that means.
Like you step on it?
You look it up, and it's a type of barley that is sold to them by the barley folk.
Okay.
But those were all really good beers, man. Because, the Kolsch... The Kolsch is like beer-flavored beer. Goes out easy, kind of like this golden lager. But, they use Supersizer hops and this Gravitas from Art History. So on a warm day, man, like that cream ale with those hops really, it's kind of, they're more present. And the same for the Gravitas.
Okay.
So 18 holes. At each hole, they have a bunch of sponsors. So you ride around in your golf cart and you say hi to the sponsors. And they're all selling you know, stuff that you would buy if you were a brewery, you know, insurance, you know, supplies of some sort.
Oh.
But Omega Yeast was there.
Okay.
Yeah, so we get to talk to the Omega Yeast guys. You know, we talk about how cool it is that, you know, all the Northwest Side guys won with their yeast strains. You know, they got t-shirts, they got playing cards, all this stuff. Oh, but I'm asking them, I'm like, are you guys from Chicago or you just have an office here? Mm-hmm. They're like, no, we're from Chicago. And I'm like, well, how do you quantify your reach in the market? Right? Is it by, you know, you count how many customers you've sold to, or do you count how much yeast you're selling?
Yeah.
And that's when he goes into, you know, hey, if we were a brewer based on the yeast we've sold, we'd be the, you know, fifth largest brewer in the state.
Shit. Okay.
And 90% of all breweries use our stuff. And okay. We're just super fortunate. But then they had I got a t-shirt that said Proper Seltzer. And I'm like, you guys making seltzer?
Yeah.
He's like, no, it's a yeast nutrient. Because when you make seltzer, it's you're converting just sugar with the yeast, and then you're making your seltzer. So there's no nutritional value. It's all dead. You know, it's all dead calories. Like, there's nutritional value in malt.
Yeah.
So this nutrient is what they're selling for you to add to make a craft seltzer. So it's not just empty calories. So it's got some nutrients as if it were a beer.
Okay.
So.
So
that was cool.
Do you think? That's pretty awesome that they're like 90, what did you say, 95% of the beer made?
90% of all Illinois breweries.
Is that good? Like, it's great for them.
Yeah.
Is that, we're getting, that becomes like a thought process of like, does all the beer tasting the same?
I don't know, they got, on the playing cards at least, they have descriptions on all the cards. And they had like 36 different yeast strains on these cards.
Right. There are a lot of different ones. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
And if someone's not taking care of it, then, you know.
Yeah. So, I think it might be good in the sense that you can better understand how to get the most out of this yeast if the guys are just right down the fucking street.
That's true. Yeah.
Right? But, yeah. But like what you're saying, you know, a lot of breweries have like a house yeast.
Right.
You know, Goose has a house yeast, you know. And that was their big talking point when they made a beer with Microphone. It's like, hey. For this collab, we gave Microphone our yeast strain. Most breweries have one or two yeast strains they like working with. So I understand the question, right?
Yeah.
So, but I'm not sure.
You know? I would be interesting to know, I don't know, like if you could pick that off anytime going to a different brewery, be like, oh, I like these five breweries, but I don't like this one. Is it because of the yeast strain? Or maybe it's like, actual something else is going wrong.
Yeah, they got I asked them. I know of Omega because, well, they were right next to the old
Lake Effect. Yeah,
right on Cicero and Montrose. That might be Lawrence, but I'm like, I can't name a bunch of other yeast companies. And there's White Labs, which I've heard of,
right?
But then he named like two or three others, so there's not a ton of options.
That's true. So it's not a it doesn't matter because you only have like three choices anyway. So, it's it. So
no,
you're not.
But then but like most of what you taste in beer is the yeast. I've heard that. I've heard brewers say that before. The majority of what you taste is whatever yeast you're using.
Okay.
But yeah, if two breweries use the exact same, you know, quake yeast. How similar are those beers going to be? There's a lot of creative levers, though, you can pull.
Sure, yeah.
You know, ABV on a lot of these, when you look at these cards, like ABV goes up to 9 and 10 on a lot of these, you know.
That's why something like that Quake Fest that District Heroes put down, or even the Oak Park Microbrew when they were doing the everyone had to brew the same style beer, which is fun to try. I understand it's very boring to the consumer, but it's fun to try. And just like all those smash beers, like it's cool to see what one ingredient changes on the beer. But that's, you get super nerdy in that, where it's like most people don't care.
Speaking of Oak Park, shout out to One Lake. I saw them after the after you golf, there's a big barbecue at the end and all the brewers are there hanging out, you know. So I was talking to the pre-show, I saw Kevin Carey there. Doug from Metropolitan, or Doug from Revolution, not Doug from Metro. Oh, but the One Lake guys were there.
Right, because Metro's not a part of the guild
currently. Right.
So
One Lake was there, and they won Iron Brew, or whatever it's called, last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were there. We were talking about that for a little bit. And I met a crew called 206. 206 is a brewery in Carroll Stream. So the guy's a retired firefighter. 206 was the number for his battalion or his, you know, whatever.
I've seen firehouse. This brewery.
Okay.
And I believe, I thought I've seen pictures of, like, I know it's a firefighter brewery, but I've seen, like, the Blue Lives Matter kind of flags inside their place, which, you know, that's kind of just they're firefighters, so I understand, but
Yeah, firefighters, are people outraged by firefighter brutality, or what the fuck, what's going on there? I don't know. But they were there, so I learned about them for the first time that day.
Okay.
And that was it, man. Oh, you know who I was with? The guy we met, his name's Rick Garza. He has a trucking company. We met him at Bug.
Does Pass Bug?
No, he was volunteering that day. He said, listen to the show. Oh, I was golfing with him that day.
Oh, nice. Kind of funny. That's awesome.
I'm like, dude, I just saw you somewhere. He's like, yeah, fucking Bug. So it was a funny coincidence. So,
that's sweet. Yeah. Nice.
But yeah, it was cool, man. It was a good hang.
Awesome. So, man, West Chicago, Naperville, getting it done out there in the West Burbs.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Midwest Coast. I went by there because I just wanted to chill on the patio.
And get more of that cream ale.
Yeah, and try the cream ale. Was it good in cans? Is it really good?
Was it just because it was fucking in the middle of the sun? And you're like,
hey, 85 degrees. Cream. You know, this cream ale is fucking dreamy, man.
Its name, what was it, 3T? Or like, this
three. Yeah, it was kind of perfect.
So good.
Perfect.
Like, Broken Tee? They should have been out there,
Should have been out there, yeah. But, you know, by the time you golf 4 hours and, you know, you have maybe a plate, and, you know, they got Stern pinball machines out there. They got a tent.
On the golf course?
No, this was afterwards.
Like waiting to tee off. You're like, yeah, I'll play ya.
So it's kind of a reception where you hang out and talk to everybody.
Okay.
But after like 5 hours of golf, I was like, oh, I got an hour to get home, so I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to see everybody. Oh, but I did go to Midwest Coast to see if that beer was there. And it was. It was way better on the golf course than it was.
Okay.
Oh, but they have a public notice at Midwest Coast that they're building a rooftop bar.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay. Because they have a patio.
They do have a patio. Yeah. And they have an upstairs. I mean, you can see it, but I haven't been up there. But you can, when you're on your patio, you can see the steps that lead to a second floor.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's got to be loud on that patio, right? Because the train's right there.
Train is like a block south.
It's got to be like being a pilot project. Well, pilot project, you're like...
Train's like...
In the park. In the beer garden.
Yeah. What was I going to say?
At least that train comes way less often than the pilot project.
And then it's a little further away. All on the golf course, we talked about fucking Great Central and how they're fucking this up. And one of the guys is like...
Not us. No, just... It in general, not fucking us up.
No, not fucking us up. How Great Central has this gorgeous location that you can walk downtown from, and for some reason, clients are leaving left and right. Old Irving, Free People, and Sketchbook decided to build their own breweries instead of work with these guys. So the conversation comes up, I forget with who, and they're like, you know, fucking Maplewood left.
Maplewood
left.
That means they're opening their own place, right?
They were doing 20,000 barrels a year out of Great Central. And then this is all, you know, drunk chatter on the golf course. They left and they're brewing at Octopi. And then they're brewing partially at a crew in Michigan. There's a contract brewery in Michigan, and Octopi is in Wisconsin. Was started by the old Fire Rabbit guy when Fire Rabbit split. That place. They do on time.
So Great Central did so bad, they're like, we're taking this out of state.
Yeah, that was the talk.
So that means Maplewood has to be like just trying to get this new brewery up and go running.
You would think, right? So Matt,
you're wasting money.
Well, you have to pay someone else to brew your beer, so you're cutting into your profits for sure.
And if you're brewing out of state, you gotta pay the tax to come back into the state.
Then you gotta ship it all back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like a bit much. So I'm like, well, let's go to Great Central and see what's on draft there. You know, so I go to Great Central and they still have like 6 Maplewood beers on draft.
Okay.
So, but Great Central makes so much beer that if this happened, I imagine they still have months' supply of
Maplewood.
But yeah, so they got 24 draft lines at Great Central. Of the 24, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of them are Maplewood drafts. Whoa. That's insane. Okay. Right.
That's gonna be huge. That's gonna be a huge blow to Great Central.
Yeah. Illuminate is brewing there. Well, Illuminate has stuff on. Cruz Blanca has a couple handles on. After that,
Cruz Blanca doesn't even have a place. It's not even a brewery.
Yeah, Cruz Blanca's got three beers on there.
And it's then, the only place that you can get Cruz Blanca.
There's a Perch beer on, collab with Gray Central. And then three Gray Central beers. Yeah.
That is the craziest list.
And older and Beezer's on.
I have a bunch of breweries that don't exist or don't brew there. Not that like Illuminate doesn't exist, but
yeah. So that was interesting. Yeah. So yeah. Folks are pulling out of Great Central. It sounds like if you base it on, I don't know how much beers anybody's making. I got an answer about this beer thing too. I want to talk about. I don't know how much beer everybody's making. Beer. I want to talk about beer in Chicago. How much is being made?
Oh, okay. Someone said that.
This was at the Goose thing.
Oh, okay. How much time? It's like, where are we going?
I don't know.
It's only a 5% beer. Yeah, we're not way off.
I'm grabbing them. These are good. They're going down good. If you base it on how many draft lines, you'd have to assume that the top dog at Great Central was Maplewood.
Right.
I've been there 3-4 times. Maplewood always had the most drafts.
Yeah.
So if they're leaving, what in the fuck's going on?
And Beezer's leaving. Which, like, that's great for Beezer, but I don't really see Beezer around town, so I don't know where it's got to be in stores. But
I think you gotta. I think they're positioning it to take over the city. But like, yeah, to your point, I think Della. Well, if they're building a brewery, it's gonna be anchored on Della and Beezer. You would think,
right? Because the hazy. Not that hazies have gone away; they just have. They've scaled back quite a bit. There's not as much
for sure
haze out there as there was 2 years ago.
For sure.
Coming out of COVID, it was just like nonstop. Everything was hazy.
Yeah. You got a chance to just be, without a doubt, Chicago's hazy. You're building a brewery, and you have a position. You have a chance to do this.
Yeah.
And the city's there for the taking. These people will drink it. You put it over there on Michigan Avenue and on these fucking boats, people are going to drink it.
Right.
Yeah. So last thing. Shout out to Goose. I was at the Juneteenth takeover at Goose. Yeah. They had like 12 guest drafts. It was very cool. So I'm talking to Goose, and we were talking about volume.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, dude, I'm mad at the Brewers Association because they don't break out Heineken, and they don't break out AB. So that means the top two brewers in town, we don't know how much they make.
Right.
You know? And he's like, well, dude, you got to think, we got 400 barrel fermenters outside of the building here at Goose, but they're all full of BCS. So we're not making, although we have capacity to make like 160,000 barrels a year, we're probably making closer to like 60,000 barrels a year because most of it is BCS. BCS has to be brewed, put in the warehouse, and then come back to the brewery so it can be flash pasteurized. Yeah. So it takes up a ton of tank. It takes up a ton of tank space. It
seems like so much wasted time.
So like, they had the issue in 2015, so that's why they pasteurized everything.
Right, but just the fact that they're just wasting space and time at this brewery that could produce fresh beer in Chicago. And beer that doesn't need to be brewed here.
Goose is an anomaly because, you know.
Or there.
312, probably not brewed there.
Right.
Goose's goal, I think, is to make beers, dial them in, and then have them brewed at AB facilities. Right, leaving space for fun stuff all year here.
Right.
So all their top beers, like a lot of the stuff from the Beer Hug series, all that stuff's brewed at AB now. The popular ones, 312's brewed there.
They do have this new, it was a Kolsch or a cream or a pill. Like I recently had it, and it was really good. I think I took a picture of it. I wish I could remember what it was.
So what they said was, you want to consider how much volume people can brew.
Okay.
When you want to find out who's making the most beer. But in their case, they like, even though we can make more beer than Revolution, they think Revolution's actually making more beer than them.
Okay.
So Rev might actually be
the biggest actual brewery. Outside of
for annual volume of beer, because the styles they make are cranking them out more. They're, you know, they're making IPAs more. They're making fresh session sours more. You know, they make Anti-Heroes their biggest beer.
Yeah.
So they're making more beer than Goose, even though Goose has capacity to make more beer. And that's something I hadn't thought about.
Okay. You know?
So when you think about Lagunitas, sure, they can blow everybody out of the water with these 750 barrel fermenters.
But they're making beer for the country.
Then they're making fucking Amstel Light and all this other bullshit. They're not even probably making their own stuff as much.
Okay.
You know, so that was a variable I didn't consider when I'm wondering who's making the most beer in the city. They might not be making craft beer, or they might not be maxing out their capacity like Goose. Because Goose can make more beer, but they're choosing to make a beer that takes longer.
Okay.
You know, so.
Hmm.
That was all.
Whew. So then, okay, so Revolution is potentially probably the most beer-producing brewery in the city.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Half Acre's not in that top 50.
They're not? Oh, yeah.
Revolution is. Yeah.
And they just lost how their little three barrel thing. It's got to go to Suncatcher. So even less.
Seven barrels every month gone.
Yep, we can't.
We got to track that.
Chips away, right?
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. All right. Any other stops then? Was the Juneteenth lineup all black breweries, or was it just guests of Chicago?
Collabs and black breweries.
Okay.
So a Black Calder from Grand Rapids, they had a collab with Shalonda and Goose, and it was I think it was called Mona. So it was a ginger wheat ale with peach. And I was saying, you know, this is on brand for Goose to have a beer named after a woman, because, you know, Sophie, or, you know,
yeah,
Lolita, Halia, it goes on and on. You know, Dominique. You know, I can remember hanging out with Laffler at Goose, and I was like, yeah, you know that beer you like, Laura? I'm like, oh, this is Laura, you know. Oh, so it's like, you know, it's funny that it was named after a woman.
How was the peach level? Because we talked about District Brew Yards and me having that peach cream ale from around the bend. I was like, it was too much peach.
Yeah, I had a Haymarket peach IPA, and I thought it was too much. Add bug.
Right.
Too much peach.
Was this too? How was this
peach? This beer was fantastic. This is the best beer they had that day.
Okay.
Was this beer?
Maybe it was white peaches. So white peaches are like lighter.
A little softer.
Yeah, but less, I don't know what they used.
I don't know what they used either. I know they used a peach juice.
Oh.
And fresh ginger.
Maybe the ginger probably cut through that.
And it's really peach in essence. Like, it has a peachy, pillowy aroma.
Okay.
The body is more like a classic wheat ale with a little hint of ginger.
That's nice. Okay.
And then it's actually 7%, but it pours like a 4%. That's why I thought it was interesting.
Yikes.
I was like, oh, shit. This is 7%? I look on the board. I'm like, Jesus Christ. But it poured really well, so I was kind of surprised by that. But, yeah, I think the ginger's kind of hiding some of that.
Okay.
It's not ginger in the sense that, you know, who had a big 7% ginger was Ballast Point at one point. They had a big 7% ginger ale. This wasn't that. It was really good.
Hmm.
But no, I think the guests were Black Calder. There's a collab with Sketchbook and Jay Westbrook. Haymarket had a few beers on with black brewers. Black Horizon was there.
Funky Town.
Thank you. Funky Town was there. Moore's. Now, the Moore's beer, the Moore's had a pear pilsner. And I think that was an example of too much fruit.
Okay.
Like, the pilsner was kind of balanced out by kind of like almost medicinal kind of pear note.
Hmm.
And that's why I really like the Goose one. I'm like, because look at them, man. I'm like, look at this fucking Moore's thing. It's out of whack. This Goose thing is fucking money. So that's how I really noticed it, how good the Goose thing was.
Nice. Okay.
But yeah, I bet you a lot of that stuff's still on. Cheers to them, because I thought it was going to be like 3 or 4 beers. They had like fucking 12 beers. It's like a proper invasion.
That's awesome.
And you don't know Goose for doing this a whole lot. I know they did it at when Phase 3 came through. Phase 3 was a guest draft on there. And then, of course, Virtue. But that's basically family. So Goose is coming around to, like, really just kind of partying with other breweries all the time. And yeah. I'm here for that. So cheers to them.
That's great.
Yeah.
Cool. The only other stops I made, too, I did hit a Metro. I had the whatever the coffee one on, not the Jitterator, the other one that they...
Yeah.
They never have the Jitterator on. They always have the other one on.
Yeah, what's it called?
It's disappointing. Why can't it go the other way around? But anyway, that was just hanging out there for a little bit. And then hit up corridor. Mm. Got in there right as they were closing. Had a beer, may have had an old fashioned. We sat at the bar.
A quarter?
Yeah. I think I had something called, I don't know, was it White Zombie or
Haze?
Killer Mother? I don't know, something
zombie,
like that.
Zombie Hates.
No, I don't. It was good, and enjoyed it. I was gonna get some cans for the show, but they ended up giving me the check and basically like, get out of here, kind of thing. It was like 10 o'clock.
Oh.
To like get out of here, we're closing. Everything closes early.
Yeah.
But that was a good little pop in. I just hadn't been to any of the corridor dry hops in a while, so that was good.
The one I'm most likely to go to is Corridor. I don't like Crushed by Giants because it feels like
I still never been.
Feels like Corridor. Right. It doesn't feel enough like its own thing. I'd just rather be at Corridor.
I'd have to be over downtown over there. Like, yeah, it's not gonna be there.
Yeah, that's true too.
I'm more likely to go out to Huntley at the Moor than I am to go to Crushed by Giants at this point.
That's funny. It's funny because it's true.
Yeah, and speaking of Moor. They're opening another brewery.
Moor, Villa Park, Huntley Moor?
Yeah.
Where are they opening another brewery?
There was a thing. It was set on Instagram. It was supposed to be on Tuesday or be like, big announcement coming. And there was you could probably pull up their Instagram now.
So this would be the third Moor?
Right. And there was apparently like some sort of announcement coming from Moor about a new something exciting coming. So next I'll pull this up because I just remembered this. They posted like a picture of a picture.
6:30. Yeah, it looks like an empty space.
Oh, okay. So yeah, there is a new spot opening.
Oh, Bartlett, June 30th.
Oh, Bartlett.
June 30th is coming up.
So right there by West Chicago, where you were.
That's where Bartlett is?
Yeah, Bartlett's right there.
Okay.
Another Moor.
They're turning into fucking...
I don't know if that's easier or harder to get to from...
The rock bottom of... the closest one's Villa Park.
Right. But yeah. Bartlett and West Chicago are like... They're in between the expressway kind of thing. It's like going to St. Charles where it's like, this takes forever.
It took me a good 57 minutes.
So the Huntley one's very easy to get to from the city because it's right off the expressway if you don't have traffic.
Yeah.
So Bartlett Moor.
There you go.
Now they'll have three. Altar will have three. Phase three will have their Villa Park one opening soon.
Elmhurst. With food.
So that'll be two for them. Noon Whistle's got two. Salamos got two.
Two Brothers had two, right?
They still got two. They got Warrenville and okay. Aurora.
Multiple locations for yeah. a lot of folks.
Right.
You said Salmo.
Yeah. Old Irving's new spot is opening. Sketchbook?
It takes two. Oh, Sketchbook's got two.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's got two. If you don't have two, that's like a new level of the club.
What are you doing?
Does everyone at District Rearts has two?
Every District Rearts has two. Goose tried to get two. Goose wanted to be...
Well, they'll have Salt Shed.
Oh. Well, Goose actually does have two.
They got two, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Old Off Color has two.
A lot of breweries have two. Pipeworks is going to have two if they ever open that fucking place.
They sort of have.
Oh, they took over Bishi.
Bishi, yeah.
That's funny.
Which I got a good two. I forgot. That's a burger. I need to try again. The Bishi burger.
Because it's the orange and onion burger.
Yeah.
Which has always been a really good burger.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I think Biker Dude is still a champ. This Chicago Secret Burger, though, is worth the hunt.
Okay.
There's a dude behind me. He's like, it's just a burger. And I'm like, I disagree, bud.
Then get online. Then go to McDonald's. There's a Culver's down the street, man.
Culver's is just a burger. This is not. Yeah. This is not just a burger. So. With all due respect. With all due respect, pal.
Yeah, and this is just a beer, too. Get out.
Fuck out of here.
You're not welcome here. Damn. All right. Anything else before we get out of here?
Man, I think that's it, man. Shout out to Temperance, they're doing a gold, they're doing their Beechwood Blonde Day.
Yeah.
So we're going to shut down the parking lot and have DJs and empanadas and stuff for their pineapple gold meal.
Yep, that sounds good. I'll be drinking pina coladas in Cancun next week.
Oh, wow.
So I will not be heading out to the burbs.
Brad is on a roll, man. Travel sounds nice, man. That's on. And you know what? Gets you some fucking ocean.
Yeah.
Gets you a good ocean breeze. Nothing tops an ocean breeze.
Right.
So I'm a little jealous. Lake breeze is cool. Lake ain't the ocean. The ocean is a different kind of breeze.
Yeah.
You know?
But
it's going to be nice.
Yeah. So that's going to do it. Nick, where can people find you, get in touch?
Hey, man, I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad, Chicago Beer Pass. We're on Twitter. We don't post a lot on Twitter. We're always posting photos on Instagram. Nick's throwing up some reels lately. Check those out. And we'll be back soon with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.